I'm Jeremy Meeks.
I'm David Helm.
I'm K. Edward Copeland.
And this is Preacher's Talk, a podcast for preachers and those who love preaching. Preacher's Talk, brought to you by Simeon Trust and Nine Marks, helping you handle the Bible, make a healthy church. Gentlemen, we're back together again.
It's good to see you guys.
Finally.
It's been a minute.
At the same table.
At the same table. Oh, man. Hey, if you are out there and you're like, man, I got something that I just want to hear these three jokers talk about, write us at feedback@preacherstalk.com. Today's actually comes from a couple of different conversations I had, because this is the holiday season.
December 1st.
Oh, man.
Turn the calendar.
Oof.
Wow.
Thanksgiving done, Christmas coming.
That's right.
Year's over.
Year's over.
Once Thanksgiving hits, it's a wrap.
That's right. And there is a significant diversity of opinions when it comes to preaching during the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking only about Advent, but, you know, being the Advent season, this is one of the big ones. But I want us to spend some time just giving our opinions on the matter of preaching during the holidays. And, you know, born out of decades of preaching for all of us. And, you know, per usual, we have not prearranged any of our answers. So this
I'm already thinking, what is his pattern?
That's right. This could be interesting. So let's start with this. Dave, what are you preaching for Advent this year?
All right. So we're doing the first four Sundays of Advent. We've already had one. It came on that Thanksgiving weekend. So that's always a tough one because you're in Thanksgiving. You want to do Thanksgiving stuff.
Right.
But all of a sudden, they're telling you it's the first Sunday of Advent.
Yep.
So we actually were finishing a series on the first Sunday of Advent in the book of Jonah. And now that we're in December, we're going to launch into the Gospel of Matthew. So we're going to do the Christmas-like narratives, the early narratives in Matthew this December, and then we're just going to keep going. Mm. So we're just going to stay in Matthew for the coming year.
Okay.
Ah.
So we're using Advent to start a new book,
right?
But we'll be right in the Christmas stuff.
And did you plan on church calendar-wise?
Absolutely. Yeah, we plan. Oh, yes. We always plan these things.
Mm. Okay.
No, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Good. Okay. All right. We'll come back to that in a minute. Ed, what are you doing for Advent this
year? So, strangely enough, we're doing Matthew texts for Advent as well.
Yeah,
we're not following a sequence. We're not doing the birth narratives. We looked at the lectionary in the cycle we're in. I think we're cycle A right now, and looked at the Matthew texts, which primarily focus on the second Advent.
Gotcha.
So that's what we're focusing on this year. So Sunday, strangely enough, Jeremy preached for us from Matthew 24.
That's great.
Yeah.
Which is a great Advent text.
And I think, you know, Advent is arrival, right? And
right.
So a lot of times, both of those fit. A lot of people use the holiday season to look at his first coming or second coming, first appearing or second appearing.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so most people are doing, most preachers are doing something around this. So my question, like Ed, you said you were going off of a lectionary.
Mm-hmm.
So do you do that every year?
Yes. Now, we've been doing Advent for basically the time that I've been at my current situation, which is 21 years, but only recently have we sort of focused on the lectionary text because I found myself sort of naturally gravitating towards certain types of texts.
Okay.
So, for example, if left to my own devices, I wouldn't be focusing on the second Advent.
Right.
I would always be focusing on the first Advent.
Yep.
And usually I like Isaiah, so usually I'd use Isaiah passages, sometimes Psalms. When I thought about it, I said, well, let me look at the lectionary and why is it that I never use these texts? And it gave me another angle that I probably wouldn't have taken because of my natural predilections.
Yeah, so this is interesting because you're kind of working cross-current to your own history.
Right.
So you're using a liturgical calendar, in a sense, a lectionary, to do it. And this is where some of the debate comes in, right?
Right.
So, I mean, the church calendar, what kind of use do we make of it? If you're an Anglican, you know, you could do all the feast days. You got Bartholomew. You got, I mean, Christmas, isn't it? Right.
Right.
Christmas is the first day of the church year or somewhere along those lines. But, you know, the reformers, they weren't having any of this. They weren't preaching Christmas because it wasn't dictated in the scriptures. So you had two holidays you would think about, Passover, Pentecost. Those things seem to play over.
Mm.
But at some point, the church grabs onto Easter. The church, 4th, 5th century, I'm not sure where and when, grabs onto Christmas. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, these things multiply.
Right. So let's think about what you're doing this year, going to Matthew. Are you typical? I mean, I'm guessing you're not kicking off a series in Matthew every year.
No. And some years I do what Ed's doing, right? So I'll pay attention to something. Other years I'm like, I'm not paying attention to Advent at all.
Right.
Like you might come right up to Christmas Day and we haven't really talked about it.
Okay.
I have good friends. They would never think about celebrating Christmas in a worship service.
Yeah.
Because they don't think the scriptures would ask us to be doing that kind of thing.
Right.
So I kind of go back and forth.
Okay.
Some years I make a lot out of Advent. I do 4 Christmas messages like this year. Some years all you're going to get is Christmas Eve service. So I've mixed it up over the years.
Yeah. Dave, you said you've switched it up over the years. Has your thinking about really kind of holiday preaching in general changed over time?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So I was just taking a walk this morning and I walked by my Starbucks and it says Holly Days. They're advertising Holly. And I thought, oh, Holly Days. Okay, well, it used to be holidays. Now it's Holly Days. But all this stuff has roots in holy days.
Right.
And it has roots, I think, in Israel's ancient hard and happy history, right? So sure. I've been reading Leviticus this year in quiet times.
Yep.
You get to Leviticus 23, God himself establishes annual feast days that are to be celebrated. So there's something about this annual liturgical pilgrimage, if you want to put it that way.
That's it.
That you actually, it's good to go back and remember certain things that God would have us consider. I personally think Passover and Easter are the big ones, but yeah, that's kind of, it's out there, isn't it? But,
sure.
But I think Leviticus would tell us that God establishes rhythms.
That's it.
To commemorate.
Right.
The Sabbath itself.
That's it.
So every Sunday is a liturgical rhythm. And so I don't have a problem with people that want to add on to those things. But you start, you know, bringing pets in to bless them on a Sunday morning, you know, because it's, you know, Saint Whoever Day. Then I got some issues with you.
It's a sanctified poodle. So if I could
jump in right there,
I think what you said is key. And strangely enough, I've been teaching on reimagining the holidays along the lines of what you just described. Matter of fact, my intern, he just walked through the feasts and festivals and tried to pull some principles out as it relates to us today. And one of the major things we've been focusing on is this idea of rhythm.
Right.
That our rhythms ought to be calibrated according to God's system and not the world's system. So the reason that we celebrate Advent and Lent and well, we even celebrate Epiphany and, you know, go through the whole liturgical calendar is we want to give our people, our congregation, a countercultural metric for what should capture their attention.
Right.
As opposed to just commercialism.
Yeah, that's right. Holly, H-O-L-L-Y. Holly days. Yeah.
Okay.
I think God was into that. I mean, this rhythm thing is there. I mean, otherwise, why would he ask Israel to commemorate these things on an annual basis?
That's right.
And in Leviticus, it had a particular point of drawing near.
Yeah.
So we do draw near to God through rhythm, liturgical worship. Just how much to make of all these days, I'm kind of on the low church side rather than the high church side.
Right. Where it sounds like, Ed, you'd be doing more things throughout the year.
Well, because of our social location. So Advent, even in my community, so we have Advent, Epiphany, Lent, and then during Holy Week, we celebrate Maundy Thursday.
Okay.
Right? And just last year, we just started Holy Wednesday, because in my context, that's foreign. Every year I'm having to explain what Advent is because ain't nobody else even dealing with that. Where in other situations, you might be pushing against the over-
Yeah, no, that's right.
Sort of packing the calendar with holy days, where in my situation, what is a holy day?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Epiphany, what do you mean? Is that in my pocket? What are you talking about? So,
context.
Yeah, so I think that's really important, because I think some of us try to approach preaching in something like a question like, what do we do with the holidays? from kind of this like Platonic perspective of like, what is the one thing every preacher everywhere should do? She's like, well, it's going to depend a lot on your context. I mean, we're thinking about like American holidays, but if you're in like a foreign country and they have their own kind of holidays for civic holidays or other kind of religious holidays, I think that the preacher just has to think, what should we do in response to this day as the Christian community? And those kinds of answers could be a variety of things.
Well, they're like, going to be varied. They're going to be varied because you're either going to make use of them profitably.
Right.
Or you're going to be like the reformers and say, I'm not doing anything they're doing. And so church is church. And Sunday is resurrection day. Yep. And that's the only day we need.
Yep.
So you might, I think we should give people freedom to apply it, you know, over the course of time as they see fit, rather than to come out with some really strong view that you should never do these days or you should always do these days.
Right. Yeah. And because it sounds like even we're discussing, it's like the most important thing is that you're thoughtful about what you're doing and why you would be doing that thing. Because even a rejection of doing something is doing something, right? It's a purposeful, like, no, we're not going to do this. But the question should be like, well, why not? And you should have some kind of answer for it. So I got a question in light of all of that. Let's skip the big dogs. So let's just say, okay, we're going to do something on Advent that's pretty easy to kind of consider for
a lot
of us.
By the way, my Christmas Day sermon this year falls on the text of Herod killing all the infants.
Really?
So that'll be, you know.
Wow.
I envy you.
I'm not sure I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, it's surprising. I don't want to be clever.
Sure.
But that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Christmas at Christ Church Chicago. Scripture reading, Herod kills the infants. Let's talk about Jesus' birth.
That's right. I get to read scripture that day. Can't wait. some of those texts, you're right, you don't want to be too tricky, but some of those texts can be very instructive.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, because they can be, you can take these things in so many different directions.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, yeah, I know. That's fine. That's what happens in this podcast. I want to know what other holidays you either purposefully go after or don't go after. So we got Easter, like Holy Week. We've got, Advent. But are there any other holidays that you have either done something for in the past or do something for in the present because of your context, Ed?
So if in our way of thinking in our congregation, if the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ are the two pillars, then we look at Advent as preparation and Epiphany as response, and then Lent, the Lenten season, we do make a big deal out of that. Lent as anticipation and Pentecost as response to the resurrection. So those are like the major things. We might do something, depending on how it falls, we might do something on Ascension Day.
Okay.
But in general, we're either anticipating or responding to those two major pillars.
All right. Good. Dave, you got anything else?
Yeah, we're different here, right? Yep. So Ed centers on Lent. Doesn't surprise me. You fast regularly. That whole rigor is an element of your spiritual discipline and growth. I think we've done Lent once or twice in Christ Church Chicago or Holy Trinity before that. But I do always pivot pretty strong toward Good Friday, Easter.
Yep.
I'll nod once in a while at Ascension or Pentecost, certainly Christmas. We usually have a Christmas Eve service, unless it falls on Christmas Day like it does this year. But generally, I stay away from the calendar, and I'm not sure if that's my context or principle. Mm. It's just my
just
way.
How you roll.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I haven't thought that out.
Let's get a little more complicated. What do you do, Dave, with civic holidays? We're thinking 4th of July, Mother's Day, Father's Day.
Yeah, I don't mess with that stuff. No, I don't. The civic days I'm adverse to.
So are you even...
averse to.
Yeah, I got you. Are you even like acknowledging that that day exists?
For me personally, as an individual, I could come or go and not say a word on those days. For my congregation, maybe it's employed somewhere in the sermon, the prayer, or it's remembered in a call to worship in a good way, tactfully done. But I don't feel like I've got to sermonically run a service around civic holidays.
Okay. Mm. Now, why do you have that bent?
I don't know. You tell me. Because I'm like, this is the Lord's Day, man. This isn't 4th of July Day. This is the Lord's Day. Right. I guess that's probably it. You know, Mother's Day is interesting because I live on the south side of Chicago.
Now,
Mother's Day is the biggest day in the black church than, what, Easter.
Right.
So for me, though, Mother's Day, we don't mess with that. But I'm contextually, people are telling me, no, you need to pay
a little bit.
Okay, so let's go ahead. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. So July the 4th, but Mother's Day?
Yeah.
Mother's Day is the highest attendance day.
Interesting.
That's crazy. You know, I don't understand that.
Well, just culturally, I mean, the spirituality of African-American women and, you know, people will come with their mother to church.
Right.
When they won't come on Christmas.
Yeah.
And then they might not come on Easter. So Mother's Day, and to a lesser degree, Father's Day, but to even with that, it's still a cultural. So the reason that we celebrate it now, by celebrate, what I mean, I'm acknowledging that day.
Yep.
That does not necessarily mean I'm going to preach a Mother's Day sermon.
Right.
I might just be going straight through my series. Sometimes, depending what the series is, a text might land squarely.
Right.
Sure.
You know, right on Mother's or Father's Day in a way that is useful. Or sometimes I might take a break and then go back. But the point is, I want to exploit the fact that I have the attention of an audience that I would not normally have
on that day.
Yep.
Well, this gets to even a broader point than Mother's Day, right? So effectively using any holiday evangelistically, or at least for the outsider, or, you know, bring a friend day almost is the way it feels.
Yep.
We are going to have people in our services, and we need to pay attention to that, who don't normally come.
Right.
Yep.
And so that is a unique, profitable opportunity that shouldn't be missed, regardless of what you're actually doing.
Yeah. Speaking to that, so we're going to be acknowledging at least some of these days to some degree, and sometimes we'll be doing specific texts. Other times we won't. So let me ask you about this. What are the benefits that you see to choosing particular texts? We can just think about Advent because that's the season we're in right now. So both of you are going through kind of specific Advent texts. So what's the benefit of going through those kinds of texts? And what can the benefit be of going through texts that are not immediately related to that, but kind of weaving it into the sermon, Dave?
So I'm thinking this Sunday, so my mind's pretty tight on this because I'm, you know, it's we're Thursday, right? So I'm preaching the genealogy of Matthew 1.
Mm.
At a time in our church's history where we have dozens of individuals coming that have never read a gospel.
Hmm.
Yep. And there's a fresh wind of curiosity, exploration, people that are not committed to the Christian message.
Yep.
And all of a sudden I'm realizing this is not an ordinary, you know, genealogy for the Christian story this year. I have got to sensitively, winsomely, effectively handle the genealogy for someone who's going to be looking at this for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really excited about it.
Yep.
But it does kind of turn my attention this year toward an emphasis on creating the plausibility for the Christian message in the non-believers' ears as they come into Christmas.
Yep. Ed?
So for me, the benefit, aside from what I've already said, that is, it gets me out of my rut and my predilection of that I feel I should preach this, that, and the other. But it also gives me an opportunity to help frame the thinking of my congregation theologically, just in general.
Yeah.
That is to say, we're not going to let the commercialism, we're not going to let the sort of cultural currents of the day guide our affections,
right,
as well as our intentions and our energies.
Yeah.
But we're going to focus in on a way that I wouldn't have chosen.
Yeah.
But because of the text, now I'm focusing. So this Sunday, I'm preaching Matthew 3, 1 through 12. It's the John the Baptist passage. And it ends with him talking about the winnowing fork is in his hand. He's, you know, some is going into the barn, some is going to be burning. Well, Merry Christmas. I mean,
preparation for his coming, though.
But that's, and that's where we need to, that's where we need to be, lest we be distracted by the wine of the world into a stupor. I like what you said Sunday. I forgot how you phrased it. You said there's no better time to act like a devil
than a devil at Christmas
Christmas time. Well, now we get to correct that.
And I think for Christmas in general, sentimentality will be the death of the church.
Right.
Yeah.
So all of these things, we want to preach in ways where we're not engendering more sentimentality than this stuff already has associated with it.
Yep.
So I think this is a good time to preach with a little edge.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I do a running series at a church here in Chicago. They invite me every Advent to preach one sermon. And they go, you pick whatever you want. And so I always pick.
Yeah. Oh, but let me guess. Something that has nothing to do with Advent.
That's right. Yeah. It's worse than that.
I'm going to talk today about, let's see, jail who put a stake through a man's head.
That's right. It's almost like that. Yeah. The sermon title series every year is, what in the world does this messed up text from Genesis have to do with Advent?
That's good. Right? That's good.
To this idea of, we don't want to make it sentimental, but the question is, okay, we all know, okay, the Luke narrative, the Matthew narrative, okay, fine. But the question is, like, what do, like, these incredibly dark stories have to do? What does Second Coming have to do with Christmas?
Yeah, it's great.
And as you can sometimes, you get new believers in, right? You get old believers in who are bored with Christmas. You get unbelievers in who are like, I don't even know what the heck's going on. And you get to kind of say, hey, look, like, this thing that we're celebrating, everything in the Bible is relating to this thing. So I think the good news for the preachers out there who are like, man, I don't even know what to do this Advent or if I should do anything. The good news is, like, this is, as we've kind of spoken about, a unique time in the life of the church, contextually driven for all kinds of different reasons. But you've got high likelihood of unbelievers or kind of former believers kind of coming in, that we can preach from kind of anywhere and have a unique moment to be like, hey, look, what is this thing that we're all celebrating? And see people grow as a result of it.
So let me put it this way then. Make the most of it, but don't make these things the most.
Yeah.
There you go. Merry Christmas, everybody.
For more articles, books, and podcasts, please visit 9marks.org.